Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2, and I am going to do something tonight, and a few weeks ago, I told the Lord I wanted to do something special. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted something to be special. I thought about it, prayed about it, thought about it, prayed about it, and recently, just in the last several days, the Lord put something on my heart, my mind, and I'm going to do something tonight. Luke chapter 2, I watched both my kids there. I kind of went like this. Every Christmas, we read Luke 2. This has been our tradition, and some years when the kids were little and they were just learning to read, everybody had to read a verse. Sometimes we would say, you read this many verses. You know, we broke it up to where everybody had a chance. That way they didn't fight with each other. there were times I just read it or my wife would just read it. We've done it many different ways. But I'm going to kind of take you to our living room around our Christmas tree and kind of bring you into how we celebrate Christmas. But the twist on it, you'll see here in just a little while and what I want to teach on tonight for just a little bit. But let's, you follow along with me. No, I'm not going to have you read it with me, and don't get mad at me and throw a fit because you didn't get your turn. All right? But Luke chapter 2, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice it says Christ the Lord, not Allah or Muhammad. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Here, as I was reading, of course, my memory went back to sitting around the Christmas tree with the children and teaching them about the birth of our Savior. How that Jesus came to earth to be our Savior in flesh. He had already been God. He was already the man part of God, but he had to put on a body that could die like you and me. See, Jesus' heavenly body could not die. Notice, he didn't come to earth to be man, he came to be flesh. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Not the Word was made man. It was made flesh. See, Jesus was the God-man, and he had to be born. This was the plan of salvation that he authored, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 and 2. He authored this plan of salvation. So he had to become flesh that could live a life on earth as you and I are supposed to live our righteousness for us, and fulfill Scripture by being crucified, having his blood shed, and by conquering death 3 days and three nights later and resurrecting from the dead. Now, all that was done by Jesus, and it started here in Luke 2 with his birth. Now, I say that to say this. That is the what we would call the Christmas story. But there's a part of it most folks don't understand. I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You see, I want you to notice, after the shepherds went to see this newborn Jesus, the Bible says that they returned praising God and glorifying God about all the things that they had seen and heard. Wow. That's what I want to talk to you tonight. You see, the sum total of the first Christmas was a few shepherds who came to a barn, a stable, to see a baby that was born. There were no gifts in exchange. You find nowhere in Scripture where gifts were given to Christ that night. You say, well, what about the wise men? That doesn't come in until a couple years later. The wise men did not get there the day Jesus was born. He was a young child at that point in time. There were no exchanging of expensive gifts. Say, what was the first Christmas? Relative obscurity. There was a husband and a wife and a few shepherds that showed up that first Christmas. See, Christmas today is far different. I looked online today, did some research. Almost 500 billion with a B. $500 billion is spent every year on Christmas in America. Our Congress, foolishly just passed a budget bill for the United States of America of a little over $1 trillion. We spend half of that on Christmas. $500 billion is a half trillion dollars. Now think about that. That is, they say, the average person in America spends $750 each on Christmas. I fall well below average. And this is one time I'm glad I'm way below average. Now wait a minute. Did you know there is so little about that first Christmas? God came to earth and robed himself in flesh in relative obscurity. So little is said about it, but here's the sad part. A half a trillion dollars, and I wonder how little of it's spent on the gospel of Jesus Christ. The whole purpose of Christmas was about Jesus and the gospel. Man getting reunited with God through the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A half a trillion dollars every year, and virtually none of it spent on the gospel. None. Now, it's not wrong to spend money on gifts and have time with family and friends. I left just a titch early on yesterday. Mindy, is that when you and I went to the store? Yes, yesterday. Yesterday was my day off. I only worked about 6 or 7 hours. I came in for a while and worked part of the day yesterday. And I needed to go shopping, and I hate to shop. But with my daughter in town, I thought good time for me to spend time with her because she loves to shop. So she can help me, and I can speed her up, and this will be fun. She had already gone with my wife on Monday, I believe, and I had to buy a few things for my wife. Say, did you wait till the last minute? Yes. Any other questions? Actually, it's earlier than Christmas Eve, so I didn't wait till the last minute this year. And I took her to the store, you know, and we had some fun. We talked for a while. She had gone shopping with my wife on Monday, and I came home, and my Christmas present was sitting on the front porch. UPS delivered it, and they didn't know it, but I got to see it before they did. It's fun. My wife tries so hard to hide things from me, and it doesn't matter how hard she tries, it doesn't work. But it was fun. I'm not against the decorating. I'm not against buying gifts. But by the way, I am against going in debt to buy gifts for people. It is very unwise to go into debt to buy somebody a gift. And I'll preach on that at another time. But I'm not against the decorations, the Christmas trees. And my wife and I went out. Usually when the kids were home, the last many years, we'd go out and cut a Christmas tree, a live one. They weren't home. They were home at Thanksgiving. We were going to go to the place where we get Christmas trees. We drove all the way there, and they weren't open until the week after Thanksgiving. We had everybody crammed in my truck. It was not a happy drive on the way home. Mama wasn't happy. We finally got our Christmas tree and got it up. And I like it. I don't want to decorate it. I'll help her put it up. She does all the decorating. I don't like decorating. You say, I can't believe you, preacher. You can ask her. It's true. All right. I love to look at it. As soon as she's done undecorating, I'll carry the stupid thing out and clean up the mess. But I don't like the decorating part of it. And there's nothing wrong with it. Now, some people say, well, you're worshiping a tree. You might, but I'm not. All right. I don't pray to my Christmas tree. I like some of the old Christmas classics. I like Rudolph. I like Frosty the Snowman, the real one, not the new one. I like Charlie Brown Christmas. I haven't watched any of them this year, but I still like them. Now, wait a minute. To me, the whole focus is to be about Christ, not all the other stuff. Say, every Christmas, we took time as a family to think about the real purpose, Jesus Christ being born for us. Tonight, I want us to look at verse 20, and I want to show you what I mean. Let's go back, and I titled this First Christmas Experience. The First Christmas Experience. I hope in your home and with your family, you can have a little of the first Christmas experience. Say, what do you mean? Let's go all the way back, not to our first Christmas, but to the first Christmas. And let's try to enjoy Christmas as it was started way back in Bethlehem's manger. See, the Bible says that the shepherds left after seeing the baby Jesus, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Tonight, I want to take some time and glorify and praise God for what Jesus has done for us. I want every child of God to have a little of the first Christmas experience. Now, I want you to notice, they talked about what they had seen and what they had heard. What they had seen and what they had heard. You see, they had seen they heard what was told them by the angel. They heard what was told them by Mary and Joseph. They saw angels. Now, if you see an angel, tell Brother Gus, because apparently you've been around where he was. They not only saw the angels, but they heard the angels. The Bible says they saw the glory of the Lord. It wasn't a 900-foot Jesus either. They saw a multitude of the heavenly host. They heard the multitude of the heavenly host. They saw the baby Jesus. They heard about the virgin birth, its conception, and its birth from Mary and Joseph themselves. Can you imagine hearing that story from them? Now, we read it in scriptures, but can you imagine hearing it from their own mouth? It wasn't just a trip to the hospital to see another little baby. My wife and I, when babies are born, we make trips to the hospital and we ooh and ah, and she holds the baby and I hold the baby and I pray for the mama and I pray for the daddy and I pray for the little one to get saved early in life. And I'm sorry, ladies, but babies aren't the cutest thing in the world to me. You say, oh, yours were. All of them's ugly. Good night. No teeth. All they do is squawk. Them puppies come out and they don't look like what they're going to look like later. Half of them got a head shaped like a football. You got to be careful. You know, you can't dribble them. You know, and then they do nasty things in a diaper. Say, what do you do with it? Hand it back to mom. Say, here you go. Now, wait a minute. I know every mother in the world thinks I'm cruel, but I'm sorry. I just see nothing beautiful in a baby. All right? My wife is beautiful. My daughter is beautiful. But babies are not beautiful, all right? That's how I think. But I'll tell you, yours is, and lie. Okay? I think they're sweet. I think they're precious. I think they're fun to hold for a little while till they start squawking and then give them back. Amen? I'm going to get this grandpa thing down real good, aren't I, Brother June? Hold them critters till something goes wrong. Say, here you go. I got it down. I did it as a dad, let alone a grandpa. Amen? Wait a minute. I don't mind those trips to the hospital and the excitement of a new birth and all the fun that goes with it. Because you got to take care of it, not me. But wait a minute. This was a different setting. This wasn't in a hospital. It was in a barn. A stable. Probably had animals around them. And by the way, a manger wasn't a little cross-slatted piece of wood with a little thing of hay in it. Have you ever seen how much hay a horse or a cow eats? Okay, most mangers are a huge box that fits the whole end of a stall. All right, it's not just a little square, big enough to put a little baby in. All right, it's a little bigger than that. But I want you to notice two things, and we'll be done. Number one, they glorified God. They glorified God. Can I tell you something? The word glorify means giving God the honor for who he is. Giving God honor for who he is. When those shepherds saw that baby, they began to glorify God. Say, what are you talking about? Well, that means this. God is love. God is not just the source of love. The Bible says that God is love. If you want to love someone, you have to love them with the love of God. You can glorify God. I'm about to have a spell right here. I didn't even tell my wife this yet. I went to see Fred and Wally today. I got to the house and Fred was sitting in his wheelchair at the table. Now, about 5 days ago, that man was about as close to death's door as you can come. 40 pounds in water weight he had gained to where his legs had literally split open. His system had shut down. He's lost 31 pounds in the last couple days. The water's pouring off, amen, or pouring out, however you want to say it, but it's coming off. Brother Fred wasn't the easiest critter in the world to talk to. You know the story. I worked him over and worked him over and worked him over. A couple months ago, Fred got saved. Amen. He handed me a piece of paper today. He said, "Preacher," he said, "this lady's name's Faith. She was one of my nurses. She's got a couple kids." He said, "Don't think we can get her for our 52 for you, but we can start next year with her." He said, "Talk to her about our church. I think she'll come to church if you'll call her." I'd given them a stack of tracts that big, and he gave out every one of those in the hospital. Everybody came into that room. Brother Fred doesn't like people touching him. We got back this week, Tuesday, with Mindy. We went to the hospital before we went home. She leaned over the bed and hugged him. I told Wally that. She said, "She did what?" I said, "Mindy hugged him." She said, "Fred hadn't let me hug him in, and I mean, 20 years. I said, "She didn't ask. She just did it." I was getting ready to leave today. I prayed with Fred. We talked for a while. He said, "Preacher, I know you're a professional man." I said, "No, I'm not." He said, "But one of these days, real soon," he said, "I wonder, will you let me hug you?" I said, "Fred, I'm ready now." He said, "No, sir." He said, "I'm not strong enough to stand up yet. I want to do it standing up. I want to look you eyeball to eyeball." He said, "But it's coming soon." I said, "I'll be honored." He said, "Nobody's ever loved me like you do." I said, "Oh, yes, God does." He said, "I know, that's what I'm talking about." Folks, God is love. God is love. God is holy. El Papa, the dude with the $500,000 grapefruit on his head, is not holy. People that have their religious phylacteries and all their zoot suits and everything else that they put on are not holy because of what they wear. God is holy. Folks, when you pray, when you talk to God, realize He is holy. He's not just, by the way, there should be no debate. Is Allah and the Christian God the same? No. Not at all. God is holy. God is merciful. Do you know what mercy is? Mercy is not the lack of punishment. We think mercy means, well, I'm going to plead for mercy and they won't penalize me. No, mercy is love in the application of punishment. Love while you punish, that is mercy. Mercy is not getting somebody out of punishment. That is lack of justice, and that's not God. God is just. God will be just with people. My daughter was with me just yesterday. My phone rang. Somebody in this church knows of somebody that they don't like my internal organs much at all. They've done a lot to try to fight me. They called and said, "Preacher, we know you. We know you love to pray even for people that don't like you." And they mentioned a name. And they said, "Would you pray for so and so?" I said, "Sure, why?" And they're going through a medical crisis and may not live through it. I'll be honest with you, my heart broke. My heart's broken. I can't say anything to them. I can't go visit them. I can't send a card, but I can pray. I can pray. And I do, and I will. God is gracious. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the grace of God. If it weren't for the grace of God, we're all going to burn in hell. Unmerited favor. Folks, we all deserve hell. Thank God for His grace. By the way, thank God for His graciousness with us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Why don't we get a little of God's graciousness and be kind to all sinners, not just the ones that we get along with? Say, "I can't believe you would pray for somebody that doesn't like you, preacher." I've wept for them. Not because I'm a great person, but they're not a bad person. Okay, they don't like me. They don't maybe like us, but can I tell you something? That doesn't mean they're a bad person. They're hurting. Their family's hurting. God is good all the time. Folks, when things are going good, God's good. When things aren't going good, God's good. When it's raining, God's good. When it's sunshine, God's good. When it's 100 degrees, God's good. When it's snowing, it's harder to say it. God's good. Let's face it, God is good all the time. Whether we see his goodness or not isn't the issue. God is good. God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. Did you ever walk out and just look up and thank God for creation? Go out at night with the stars out. Take your Bible and read Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Wow. God is good. God is the creator. Did you ever get up and thank God the sun was coming up? Did you ever go through a hard day and couldn't wait for the sun to go down so you could maybe in a few hours get a little bit of rest and try it again? Ah, God is the giver of life. God gives life, not just physical life, but spiritual life. And God is the judge of the universe. And can I tell you something? If you've been saved, you never have to face him as judge. You never have to face him as judge if you get saved. What a wonderful thought. That's called glorifying God. But number two, they praised God. They glorified God when they saw Jesus. They talked about how wonderful God is. By the way, that's how you know whether people are a real or a fake. Oh, I saw God. And they talk about all the things they saw to lift themselves up. They didn't see God. When it's look at me, I saw God. They didn't see God. Because if you see God, it's look at him, look at him, look at him. It's not look at me, it's look at him. But number two, they praised God. Praise is thanking God for what he has done for you. Folks, we have a lot to praise God for. Now, you're allowed to say praise God. You're allowed to say amen. You're allowed to do all those things. Did you know what? Praise God, he gave us salvation by grace and not through works. Whew. I am so glad I don't have to work my way to heaven because I could not do it. Praise God, salvation is free. Somebody recently was and I were talking. They said, preacher, what would you do if salvation weren't free? I said, I'd go to hell because none of us could earn it. He said, no, what would you try to do? I said, it wouldn't matter because no matter how good I would try to be, I could not get it. And I thank God we don't have to worry about it. They tried to work me around. I said, you can't talk me out of this one because I don't visit that one. I said, it's free. I'm never going to be judged for it. I don't revisit it. I just praise him for what it is. You know, I can praise God for the folks Grace Baptist Church has seen saved this year. I did a little calculating today, and we've seen right at it, that I know of at least right at 400 people saved this year. Now, I don't know about you, but in the old days, a Baptist would go, glory! 400 people saved. Amen. One little old church. Brand new church. Did you know there's over 30,000 Southern Baptist churches that didn't have one convert all year last year? We've baptized well over 24 people this year. Closer to 30 people. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. Talked to Dr. Anderson the other day. He said, Brother Bush, how's it going? said, well, we had four visitors and one baptized today. He said, last time I talked to you, you had visitors and baptisms and salvations. He said, what's going on down there? You got revival or something? I said, yes, sir. Perpetual. Week after week after week after week. We're just doing what God said do. He said, good. That's what you're trained to do. Keep on doing it. I said, I will. God's given us visitors 50 out of 51 weeks this year. That's enough to praise God for. I sat at a table with three engineers yesterday, and they said, how come you've been waiting 3 years? I said, because banks won't touch a church till you've been a church 3 years. They won't even talk to you about loans. One lady said, why? That's not fair. I said, I don't know. Go talk to the banks. I said, you got $500,000? She said, no. I said, that's why I got to wait 3 years. She said, okay. She said, how's the church doing? I said, I gave them roughly what we've been averaging the last several months. And I said, we've had visitors 50 out of 51 weeks this year. She said, can you say that again? I said, we've had visitors 50 out of 51 weeks. I said, we had 1 week in February where we had that ice storm. I said, I had church, but I didn't have even half my regular people there, let alone visitor. She said, I don't think the church I belong to has ever had 50 visitors in all the years I've been there. I said, don't blame me. I said, here's one of my church cards. Come visit me. You can be one of my visitors. I'm sitting at a conference table passing out church tracts, inviting people to church. The head Bubba buddy, he's sitting there and his eyeball went up. He said, that must be a first. I said, no, sir. Last year, we hit 50 out of 52. I said, my church doesn't know it yet, but we're going to try for 52 in a row again this year. I said, we didn't quite hit it. I said, we've hit 50 weeks and then 51 weeks. We're going to hit 52 weeks. He said, what are they going to say about it? I said, I don't know, but we're going to give it a shot. I said, isn't that what it's all about, reaching people? He said, you're different. I said, I've been told that before. Can I tell you something? I praise God the bills are paid. You don't know sometimes how I've tried to pray it down and beg God, but the bills are paid. They're paid on time. We've never been late with a bill. Not once. We're buying property and getting ready to build a building. Now, folks, I don't know if you understand, but churches are slowing down and shutting down, not building up. We're building up. We're not shutting down. I don't care if I've got to quit being paid and I got to go work a second job all night long to be here all day long. I'll do it, but we're building a church. Amen. Let me take a moment and praise God for changed lives. I look right back here and see this family back here, and I see changed lives. I can't even begin to tell you. I'm not going to embarrass them. But Ashley didn't like Baptists. Can I tell you something? When she got a hold of the gospel and it got a hold of her, God turned her inside out, upside down and around, and it turned Joe around too. Amen. Then Joe says, preacher, my daddy needs to get saved. Can you come on out? I went out to the farm. About a half hour later, Brother Ron and I led him to the Lord. On the way out, Joe said, you know, I watched my daddy chase preachers off this property, physically throw them by the clothing off the property. I said, no. He said, I didn't want to tell you beforehand because I wasn't sure what he was going to do. You chicken. That chicken still has lips too, by the way. Thank God for the changed lives and the people they've brought to church that have gotten saved and the people that they've been reaching because God changed their life. I think of Brother Fred and Miss Wally and how God's just miraculously reached down and turned them around. You can't understand. Hospice walked in on Tuesday for Fred, or Monday, I was with him. That's not a pleasant experience if you've ever been there. Fred was sitting there, and she said to Fred, "You seem awful happy for a fella that I have to come visit." He said, "Yeah, but the preacher's here." He said, "You don't know him like I do." He said, "It would have been bad a couple months ago." She said, "Well, what happened a couple months ago?" He said, "Him." I said, "No, it wasn't me." He said, "I know, but you just didn't give up." She was looking. He said, "You got to come to our church." He reaches over, grabs a gospel tract, and handed it to her. I'm not kidding. In his own home, he's inviting this lady from hospice to come to our church. She said, "Now, I know your pastor's here, but would you like a visit from our chaplain?" He said, "Nope, I got one better." He said, "If he wants to come, he can come, I guess." He said, "I'll talk to him, but he'll have to come visit my church too." I'm just laughing. Here's a guy that didn't want anything to do with God or church unless it was a curse word. And I'm not kidding. Wow, changed lives. I look back there and see Miss Kim. That lady blesses my soul. My goodness. God sent you at a time, Miss Kim, that I needed you. You'll never know. You'll just never, never know. I look back and see Miss Osi. I remember a year ago, we were wondering if she was going to make Christmas last year. Well, she made last year. She made this year. Well, almost. She's not going anywhere before Christmas. Can I tell you something? Changed lives. I look back and see Brother June and Miss Sue. Whew, what a blessing. A godsend to Grace Baptist Church. A godsend. They'll never know. The days I've walked outside, I said, "Oh God, I need you to help me. God, would you please?" I remember spending a whole week walking 1 hour a day around this property, begging God. That was the first week that you came. I spent hours walking and praying. They were an answer to prayer. I didn't even know them. They're wishing they didn't know me now. I look at the growth in so many people in this room. We're all growing. Some in other areas, but we're growing. And I see how the families have been strengthened. And can I tell you something? We got a lot to praise God for. Yes, sir. I hope you as a family take time this Christmas and experience a little of what the first Christmas was really all about. Glorify God and praise God. It's not the boxes, not the toys, not the presents, not the wrapping paper, not the games, not all the food, though you can praise God for it. It's not all those things. It's about Jesus Christ. Take some time, glorify God, praise God for Christmas and for the Christ of Christmas. Isn't it a shame? $500 billion and people won't even acknowledge Jesus. We're so bent on buying gifts for everybody that we don't even know what it's about anymore. Let's just take a little time and experience Christmas the way the first one was experienced. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope God gets loved on a little extra this week in a way you've never loved on him.